This week, we're talking about cards that used to be super expensive, but have gotten a lot cheaper, and you just might want to put them in your decks. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash Podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we're talking about cards that used to be really pricey, but have gotten a lot cheaper recently. And joining me, we got the full crew here today. We got Tomer, we got Krim, we got Phil. How's it going today, guys?
Very good.
Doing great. I always like knowing what powerful cards are cheap now as a budget brewer. So
I know. Yeah. These are the cards that Tomer will beat us with his next $50 deck, and we all die. I know how this goes. Anyway,
I'm always looking for cards that are cheap, but then I get the expensive version anyways.
Yes. Now we can get the foil version, right?
Like, yes, the foil is almost also cheap.
That
but
is
not
how
really.
It always goes.
So, as we said, we're talking about cards that might be in budget decks now that used to not be good enough for budget decks. But before we get into that, we got some sponsors today. Today's show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards. And Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use a sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results in a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even head over to cardconduit.com/MTGGoldfish and get 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So we recently talked about tech cards that you overlooked. And our top comment comes from Coddly Buns, who says, podcast idea, Shark Tank, but the community sends in their cards and their pitches. That actually sounds like it'd be fun. I'd be down
kind of
doing that
Shark Tank. Yeah.
That is the
We're
real.
We're gonna
shark
be harsh
tank.
Though, or I'm gonna be harsh.
I love that idea.
They gotta come with a good
Simon Cowell. Oh no, that's another show. Yeah.
Man, that's American Idol.
I don't know my reality.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. You'd be the Gordon Ramsay.
The suggestion is raw.
All right, let's talk about cards that used to be expensive, but now we're not expensive. And Tomer, since you're the budget commander, why don't we start with you? What's a card that's super cheap now that used to be kind of pricey?
Okay, this is one that I thought was out of my budget range for forever, and then it turns out it just like randomly showed up in a pre-con, and it's not very expensive anymore, and now I'm putting it in a lot of my green decks. It's Endurance. Endurance is a 3-mana elemental incantation. It has flash reach. When it enters the battlefield, up to one target player puts all cards from their graveyard onto the bottom of their library in a random order. And you can cast it for 0 mana by evoking it, exiling a green card from your hand, and then it enters and immediately has to be sacrificed. I love this as graveyard hate because it's instant speed. 3 mana is not that much to cast it even. And you could always, worst case scenario, evoke it out for 0 mana. So if you're like green heavy, this card is amazing. I think it saw a lot of like modern play. I think It was, that's why it was $50 at its peak, which is insane. And then I saw it printed in like the elemental precon, like in January or something, a couple of months back. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. How is this here? And it's like, less than $4 now, 3.86. What happened?
That's the power showing up in a pre-con, I guess. Yeah. Like, that's just like such a high supply reprinting that it does a ton of work to drop the price. I'm curious, though, like, what decks do you play this in? It's really good in Elemental. Like, Ashling the Limitless and Elementals, it seems really good. But what other homes would you put this in?
Creature
My last order know. Was actually exactly this, because I recently saw Endurance skin reprinted. I did get the full art version, but it is kind of the perfect. I still paid like, okay, $13. Yeah, but it's way cheaper than back in the day. And I do play it in Lornis actually to just not mill out
Shuffle
and have like this oh, I have graveyard hate, but let's be real here. It's going to come real handy if I'm tapped out and overshoot my shots because I don't play Thassa's Oracle, but the Lab Man. So if somebody wants to stop me, I better have free interaction that keeps me from dying. So I recently got this because I noticed that it was sheep. But that's a pretty niche case for it.
That's actually a good point.
What do you play?
I do play this. I played in my Venom deck and whatnot because it's just something that once it enters, it hates out the graveyard, right? And then I could just sack it. I get rid of it. I like the card a lot, and I'm also heavily incentivized to play it because I bought a Final Fantasy collector booster and I opened the Magus Sisters. And I'm like, I know people are like, wait, you play with them? I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I like the card. It's cool. I don't really care what it's worth. I just want to play with it. So
let me check this version. I think this one isn't cheap.
That one is I know we're talking about these are all cheap cards now, and I love that we're just
talk about the fancy version.
The fancy version.
The $500 version, though, is worth the money that.
But I opened the file. It's $500, but like...
Yeah.
The English version is crazy.
It's so sick. Why wouldn't I?
Ooh, I don't know. Yeah. The fact that it's a creature, it's just like, if you're a creature synergy deck, I feel like this is like one of the best graveyard hates. The fact that you can do it for zero mana, free interaction, good.
Yeah,
and
at flash
speed
is everything. And again, like, it is nice to save your own graveyard, like from a Jukabog or something like that. It's just nice. I really like the card itself.
Yeah, being able to put an important combo piece that ends up in the graveyard back in your deck has value because you can tutor up from there or whatever.
Dirty mill players like Krim.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Plus, man, it's so good against mill,
We got to have some tech against the crabs, you know? Like, come on.
The things we have to do because we're in a play group with Krim. Always got to be prepared for mill.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, speaking of Krim, why don't you give us a card that's gotten a bit cheaper?
All right. So a card I really liked playing back when it came out, it was like, I think like 14, 15 bucks. It's not like super duper pricey compared to some of the cards I'll bring up, but like it was still like 14 bucks and Sower of Discord. It's now like, I think I've seen it drop as low as like $2 and then now it sits somewhere around $4. Sower of Discord, for those that don't know, this card is a fun demon, and if you know me, you know I love my demons. I have my Grixis demon deck. It's 6 mana, 6/6 flying. When it enters the battlefield, choose 2 players. Whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other player also loses that much life. This is like peak commander like design for me. This is like the silly fun stuff that I like going on, and it dropped down to like what? It's like maybe $4 now is what I'm seeing. Yeah, $4. $4 for this demon, and this demon is a blast. This used to be pricier. I know it's not like a crazy drop in price, but it's still cheaper, and it's fun to play with. And I think more people should play with this card because it's so much chaos. And believe it or not, sometimes the power move is if you just make yourself one of the linked people.
To keep someone from attacking you, because then the damage will go back
right
as that.
Yeah,
but then your mutual, the other unlinked opponents are going to be like,
you want to hit me a lot, dude? I'll show you. I'm going to make us the link here. Like this card is a lot of fun to
play
with. And I'm just happy that it's like under $5.
Yeah, it seems great in demon decks in specific. Mm-hmm. Like that seems like the most common home for it. So yeah,
If you're often the archenemy, or always killed first,
just,
you know,
just Krim,
like, really
just
nice
Krim decks,
to,
yeah,
just Krim problems. You know, like I'm obviously always removed first, so.
Really, like Kalia, you cheat it out. It comes in attacking. You take out 2 people in the same swing. Yeah. It's very funny.
It was like an old staple, right? Because I feel like the first time I saw this was in the very beginning when I joined Clash. And it's kind of like one of those cards that is just Commander. Like, obviously, the effect wouldn't make any sense otherwise. Mm-hmm. So this feels like a classic Commander design. And it's not really. Like, there was a reprint in... What is this set? Commander Masters or something?
Yeah, I think that's the one that dropped the price a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because originally it only came in the commander
deck.
It's
just 2 printings. Yeah.
So, yeah, now that it's under $5, I think you should just run wild with this.
Super
link
fun,
up and just get somebody.
Link up.
Well, let's link up with Phil to give us a card that's cheap now. What do you got for us, Phil?
Okay, so I'm going to start with, I think this one is obligatory because this is the craziest thing I saw when it comes to price drops. And it is just such a powerful card that is one of those commander haymakers. It is Avenger of Zendikar, which was, in its heyday, was at $15, which isn't the world. It is more than I would like to pay for a card. But now it's at 80 cents. And probably if you click, let's see if I can, you can probably find it way cheaper even. It's in all so many precons. It does, I don't know if I even need to read it, 5 mana, 7 mana, 5/5. When it enters, for every land you create a plant and then landfall, put counters on every plant. It wins the game if they don't kill you afterwards. Just such a classic green bomb.
Yes, it does.
It is so crazy. It's so crazy. It's like Kratos that people say, oh, yeah, you just played Avenger of Zendikar. But it's a classic. I still love to cast it.
You gotta wait a turn, but
gotta give it haste.
You have exactly a turn, or else you die.
It's so much value for 7 mana. It's easy to get to 7. And it's just at $50. I always assumed it was expensive. Like, I got a precon, and back then I didn't know that it wasn't every precon. I thought, wait, they just give me an Avenger of Zendikar? And then I checked, and it's like, yeah, okay, sure. 50 cents.
It's one of those cards that Wizards has done a good job of just reprinting, like, every single year, again and again and again. And that's how you keep cards cheap, right? Like, Sol Ring would be hundreds of dollars, but Wizards puts it in literally every single precon, and it keeps it a couple dollars. So yeah, they've kind of nailed it with this one, which is good because this is a card you can play in almost any green deck, really. Like, it's at its best in a landfall deck. But if you just want some big beef at the top end of your curve, like, you're green, you're going to have all these land ramp spells. It's pretty easy to grow the plant. So you can just play it kind of anywhere if you want to. Well, let's keep moving on. I got one that I think, I'm not sure if people are going to consider this a recent price drop or not, but I want to shout it out because these ones I think are actually pretty relevant. These are the buddy lands. So this is the land cycle with like Glacial Chasm and Sulfur Falls and they're lands that come into play untapped if you control one of two land types. So like, Sulfur Falls comes into play untapped if you have an island or a mountain, and there's one of these for each colors. And these are lands that have just steadily gotten cheaper over the years. When they first came out in like the mid-2010s, they're like $10, $15. And then they dropped down as they got reprinted a couple times to like $5 or $6, which $5 or $6 isn't bad, but that's still a lot, especially if you're needing a whole bunch of these. But now these lands, Wizards has just pulled out all the stops. They reprint them constantly in Commander precons, and they're essentially free now. They're like 50 cents, 40 cents, 60 cents. Like, they're literally as cheap as you can get your lands. And these lands are still really good. Like, yes, they're not the hot new thing, like the surveillance or whatever. But if you're just playing a functional mana base, these lands are not embarrassing at all. I think for the price, these are some of the best budget lands I think that you can play, but I'm curious what you think, Tomer. Like, how do you rank these as far as budget lands? They got to be some of the better ones now that they're like 50 cents, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're like a 2-3 color deck, these are really easy to include. I also really like the pain lands, and I also remember the pain lands, they were like a couple dollars back when they were like in standard and stuff. And now Wizards of the Coast basically has a policy now where if they make a precon, the first lanes they go for that are good are like the buddy lanes. The ping lanes also are like less than a dollar. And just on that note, by the way, special shout out to Fabled Passage, which also was like a $10 card when it saw standard play. And very recently, I'm talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a previous set. They put it in the precon there. And then they reprinted in every single, all five of the Strixhaven precons. So I think this is the next one that is going to become a less than a dollar card. Like, I feel like this is, they've decided, you know, the buddy lands, the pain lands, Fable Passage, these are all now just going to be like less than a dollar cards that we're going to see all the time in precons, I'm hoping. But also, there's, you call also, it buddy lands? I've heard them the check lands. Mm-hmm. What do people call them?
Check lands, I know, and slow lands as well, like the ones where you need two or more lands are getting increasingly cheaper. And with Hinterland Harbor and some of the check lands, there are very affordable old border foils of this in Dominaria Remastered. I wonder
Phil's
if
expertise.
The Fabled Passage old border foil also gets a little cheaper. But this is like the problem I want to say though with check lands. They get better if your mana base gets better because they work very good with shock land surveillance. Anything
Triumphs,
with land types.
Or each
on that note,
basics,
also,
though.
let's hope. Oh, basics, come on now. Yeah. Also, let's hope Wizards continues this trend with the new, I don't know even how we call this, if an opponent has eight or more lands, or all opponents together have eight or more lands. Yeah, if they have land types, they work very well with the checked lands. Please reprint them so I can get them in their most expensive version.
I call them the pastry lands because they look delicious.
They do look like
cinnamon rolls.
I like that. I like that name. I like pastry lands.
They look so tasty.
I really like that.
They're forbidden. The forbidden meal. The forbidden snack.
That's perfect, dude. And then if you play black and white, the silver quill one, you can play Skyclave appetizer. Throw that in there. It's all just
so good.
It's food without actually food.
All right. Oh, if you want to build a cheap mana base, those are some good lands to keep in mind. Fabled Passage is a good call, too, especially for landfall. Yeah. I feel like that land's kind of mid in general, but if you really need the, like, landfall trigger, then I think it's one of the best budget lands
in that context. I'm still riding high of the one time I had there was that one time I had, like, the big 2000 IQ play where I was running the thing that makes all, like, the lands in your deck basics count as basics. And I fetched this one out, and it came. It like tapped itself, and I fetched out a Gildas Commons with it, and because I needed to bounce a land to my hand, and it entered it untapped.
Five color when we made a non legendary a legendary, right?
Yeah, it was like Rootpath Purifier, and I Fabled Passage for a Gildas Commons, and the Gildas Commons enters untapped, but then Fabled Passage untapped it, and that gave me exact 2's mana. I didn't win,
this
but I had fun.
This should have been a legend. Sweet.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, Tomer, what's another card that's gotten cheaper?
Oh, hello. Okay, this one is a card I feel like more people should be playing. So I don't know if here's a staple. But like, I feel like as the years go by, this card keeps getting better and better. And that card is Loyal Retainers. Loyal Retainers is a 3-mana white. Creature Human Advisor. So 1/1, and you can sacrifice this creature, return target legendary creature from your graveyard to the battlefield, activate only during your turn before attackers are declared. So this is a 3-drop that basically reanimates any legendary creature in your graveyard directly onto the battlefield. And because it's a 3-drop, you can get this one, get back with like Sun Titan and stuff. And I feel like legendary creature was kind of restrictive when it was printed way back in Portals. But now, I don't know, where every single other creature is legendary, I feel like this restriction becomes less and less of an issue. It's currently $2.15. And when it was originally printed, it was in Portals 3 Kingdoms. And it was like, I don't know, like a $200 card or something like that. And a while back, like a couple of years ago, it dropped down to a more modest, like, $60. It got, like, one reprint and, like, Amonkhet and stuff. Got to, like, $60, but now it's $2. And I feel like this is a very good card to pick up. And also, for Phil, it had that FNM, Magic 30 Old Border foil. Looks gorgeous.
It sounds like it's curling already.
No, come on. They look so good,
hey, come
though.
On, no. Just use foil armor.
those portal cards are ridiculous. We've seen this time and time again where cards that were only printed in Portals 3 Kingdoms are like hundreds and hundreds of dollars because they just didn't really release hardly any of it back when they originally printed this at. But then when they reprint it, the price drops a lot. Another one I think it was like Imperial Seals, kind of like that, where the portal version's like $1,000, and the reprint's still like $150 or something, but it's still like a huge decline. Or Capture
Three
Zin
Visits
Hao
was like $400.
Three Visits went from $400 to $10 or something. So yeah, whenever you see one of those portal cards get reprinted, that's your time to definitely pick them up. I don't know about this card though. Like, I mean, it's fine, but it's like, I don't know, where would I play it, Tomer? Like some sort of white reanimator deck. It seems good on like Sisay or any sort of like legendary theme deck. It seems very good there. Yeah, okay.
Joda.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
hooray, need help.
You have legendary creatures in your deck, and then
you're going to back
all of them.
Yeah.
This is every single card now. So I don't know. Ardbarts. I love Ardbarts, and Loyal Retainers is great there. So it's from Final Fantasy.
Oh, Krim, what's another one that's a little cheaper now?
I know this is going to sound wild. This card isn't crazy in design by any way, but it's Damnation.
Oh, yeah.
This card is a $20 card now. But believe it or not, that is much cheaper than where this card was. This card used to sit around like $72, $80. I swear I feel like it was like anywhere between like $70 to like $75 or something like
that.
And I remember when I needed to buy this for Modern and I'd play it out on my sideboard, and this card is just like, it is a Wrath of God that I need in Grixis. And I just cannot, I cannot believe I am paying this much for a Wrath of God. And it's been reprinted now tons and tons of times. It's still $20, which is high. But the one thing that is nice is that it is much cheaper than where it was, and there's a cool Venom variant, so I get to play with that one. Mm. And, yeah, like Mark Bagley art on it. And so, I don't know, it's just, it feels good to see that this card is not some, like, Christmas land number for what is essentially a Wrath of God.
This was one of the most requested reprints for, like, several years before they find, because this was, like, a card they print in Planar Chaos. And then they just would not reprint. This was during the Master Set era where they were doing Master Sets all the time, and they just would not include Damnation for like several Master Sets in a row. But then they finally did, and it's crazy that even with all these reprints, it's still $20. And I think part of it's that Black just wasn't very good at wrathing. I almost wonder, do you think this card's worth buying? My catch with buying this card, even at $20, which is a huge decline, I feel like Wizards has started printing more and more good Black Wraths. So I feel like the need for Damnation, I still play it and I still think it's good. But I think like 3 or 4 years from now, they might just print so many other Black Wraths that I'm like, oh, I don't even really need Damnation anymore. There's just so many new Wraths that they've printed since then. So what do you think about the long term for this card? Do you think it's worth snagging for $20? Or would you, or do you think it's going to diminish in its playability as they print more Wraths?
Honestly, I probably would. It feels a little like price memory on this because people just know it's like, oh, wait, isn't this like $80? And then it's like, no, it's 20.
It's only 20. Buy it.
And then it's like, I'm not going to sell it for 10. So I'm probably people just don't want to sell it because they know that it was this expensive back in the day.
Iconic.
Because
it is. It, really is.
It feels super
iconic.
Badass. Like if you have the Planar Chaos version, man, this is so nostalgic to see such a banger artwork.
Oh, it's so good.
That said, like Toxic Deluge is better, which is not far away, maybe even cheaper. If they
still
reprint it again,
pricey,
it's probably cheaper.
Toxic Deluge as well.
New one,
but better.
If you gain life, you can destroy everything for 3 mana. Then you
There's
get
like and stuff.
Mikrit Massacre and Decree of Pain. Still a banger. Super cheap. So,
but playability wise, as much as I love Decree of Pain, I do want a not 8 mana sweeper.
You need a cheaper.
Right?
Yeah,
man,
you need
just
a cheaper
one. Ramp and just get some ramp going.
Okay, well, we all don't have the fill start of 1500 ramp spells into a late game spell. I still like Damnation. I think it's still like Wrath of God effects are fine. Obviously, as the years progress, I kind of agree with Seth. We're going to just see better versions of this. Like, just recently, we had Game Over in the Turtles deck, where if anybody has half their life, this is now from a 5 mana to a 3 mana sweeper. So, like, we're already kind of seeing this get power crept out as is, but it is cool to just have this little piece of history. And it's only like $20 now for the Planar Chaos version, maybe somewhere around there. So,
the coolest version.
It's the cool version. I mean, it's not the coolest anymore, but it is cool to have this piece of history to me. So
I feel like this card is, I slept on this card a little bit. Like, I don't remember the last time I ever put Damnation in any of my decks, but when I'm thinking about it a little bit more, like, it's a 4 mana unconditional wipe. And like, yes, Toxic Deluge is better for the most part, unless you're like very low on life. But like, that's still fine. You need a second wipe usually. And if you're not in multiple colors, you might not have better options. Like if you're not in white, for example, you don't have better options. So I feel like I should probably just run this a little bit more. Like my favorite board wipes are kind of like the 3-4 mana, maybe even 5 mana range at the most. I like this more than Game Over because if I'm not like committing to the board and I have an opening hand with a 4 board wipe or something like that, I'm so happy. I'm so happy because on the rest of the table, it's like, I'm going to drop all my engines. I'm going to deploy, deploy, deploy. And then if you give me a couple turns with my game pieces, my creatures, oh boy, I'm going to get so much value. The best thing in the world, the best moment I have in Commander is when everybody puts their silly little card draw engines and stuff on turn three or something, and I'm like, turn four? They're all dead.
Got them.
They all go back to the Stone Age. And we've seen so many Commander Clashes games basically won off that. Like, I remember Seth was playing, we were playing like our own pet decks and stuff, and Seth was playing the token deck to out-token Phil.
He
won the game.
The early Wrath.
Everybody was playing their value pieces, and then he just Wraths, and then that's it. And Damnation, four mana? That's totally fine, I think.
Yeah.
That's still good.
It's good. It's still one of the cheapest of the Black Wraths, for sure.
It's still cheap, but I think this is like sweeper number three for me now. And every year it does kind of go down a little, but like it is still nice to have three sweepers. If you're a responsible gamer, you have room for five.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that this is out of the top five yet. I do think, though, cards like Villainous Wrath are actually creeping up in fun for me. And I know it's one more mana than Damnation, but being able to make someone lose life equal to the number of creatures they control is just too juicy.
Yeah. That's
real.
It's only five, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this
one
a lot.
Five.
That's great, yeah.
I would also just throw out Toxic Deluge itself if we're talking about cards that got cheaper, because I'm just looking at its price chart and like in 2020, it was like $40. And then even in 2023, it was still like $27. So it's only the last few years they started reprinting it, and they just put it in Secrets of Strixhaven Commander.
Ooh,
that version's $7 right now and probably still dropping, so it might be $4 by the time we get done. So, yeah.
Nobody
got their hands on the Witherbloom yet. Yeah.
No, they haven't even come out yet, so that price probably still goes down more from when we're recording this, yeah.
Something that is wild to me is that, I think Toxic Deluge is actually cheaper than Damnation, right?
That is actually hilarious.
It's half the price. Oh my gosh. You can get a foil for the same price.
Dude, that's awesome. That means you have the whole sweeper of like Damnation in black. Like I set aside just like the five sweepers in black, and that's like my go-to. I know I always pull those out. So
I can't run that new art though, even if it's the cheapest version.
What,
I feel so bad for pests, because the pests are like, the whole point of pests is you sacrifice them for value. And they look like these adorable, cute little guys, marshmallows, and they're always happy. And then you see the artwork, they're like, there's like a troll, there's a green troll in the
it's
pre-con.
It's like clawing its way out.
No, they're like, they're all like tied up, you know, the thing, like the wooden stick, and they're like tied on rope and stuff, and it's going to barbecue them and stuff. And they all look happy, and they're smiling about it, and I'm like, This is scarier than like any Eldrazi or any art they've done before. These are like smiley little squish sacrifice things, and like, no, I feel so bad for them. I just want a little plushie.
That's
because
their
them.
Biggest mistake this set is that they made the pests super cute.
They're so
like, have
cute
you seen the
so
tokens
of
them? Like,
although
so
you don't have to sack the new ones though. They solved it for you, Tomer. Now they
commander
they gain
ones
life
do.
When they attack. Oh, the commander ones still
commander
do.
Commander ones still do.
So weird.
I don't want to.
There's an old border foil Toxic Deluge, by the way. Still cheaper than Damnation.
Good to know.
Well,
funny. Speaking of cheap things, Phil, what's another cheap card?
Okay, so here's another card that I never got because of its price and that I forgot about it for a long time, and I think a lot of people did as well. And now it's kind of cheap at like $3.40, all the way down from, what was the high here? $27. And that is Bramble Sovereign. It's a 4-mana 4/4 that whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield anywhere, so even for the opponents, whenever a creature enters, you can pay a 1 and a green. And if you do, that creature's controller creates a token copy. Sure, that kind of creates copies for the opponent a little, but whatever.
Hey,
you can create
that's good
for every
politicking.
Creature. You can create a copy for 2 mana, and it is so fun. I don't know if it's still good. There's a reason why it was crazy good back in the day when Commander was a little dirtier. You can play your Avenger of Azendika, pay 2 mana, get 2 of them. But my God, does it go off. And there's a cooler version that is also pretty cheap, though, because I think that's a Commander Masters reprint, right? Wasn't it? No, it is Battle of... That's the one from... Commander Legends Battle
Commander
for Baldur's
Legends.
Gate. That wasn't a
Legend
set. But this one had Bramble Sovereign, and now it's $5, $3.40 even.
was what, Battlebond or something? One of those weird like supplemental sets. So it got like super expensive for a while. I still like this card in Panharmonicon style decks. I think it is true that it's probably not quite as good as it used to be when Commander was a little slower, but it's still just like a super cool value card with a really unique ability that can turn anything into a token, and you can even do the politics with it. So it's just like a really fun card to play with. It's one of those cards when someone plays it, I'm usually like kind of smiling, like, okay, this is going to be cool, even if it's not me that's playing the Bramble Sovereign. It's just a fun card to show up at a table.
It's so cool if Populate as well. If you're like once a Populate deck or a tokens deck, and you turn your other non-token creatures into token versions of them so you can do shenanigans. It's very fun. It's a really cool card.
I played this in that one episode when I had Naya Geared or whatever, and then I played a bunch of Demanding Dragons.
I've never been so terrified of Demanding. I don't think I've seen Demanding Dragon ever played before in my life, and now I have respect.
The card is so sweet. The Bramble Sovereign, though, just leads to so many fun, silly play patterns.
Yeah.
This one's another one of those. Back in the day, it was a staple, and everybody thought, well, this is just crazy. And then we got a reprint, everybody forgot about it, and now it's kind of cheap. It's so much fun.
As the game keeps speeding up, you have less turns to be like, oh, yeah,
true.
Spend two mana. Where's my immediate value?
Less mana to leave up. Yeah.
Game's ending on turn 8. I don't have time for these setup cards to take too long, you know? So
that's also weird. Sounds like you that like the games are ending super fast for y'all. You should probably adopt a 5 board wipe. 5 spot
nation worth only $20.
Yeah.
Let's just say if Richard was here, he would probably say, no, if you play this, you get killed because then the next turn gets super scary.
Nah.
Which is also true.
I mean, yeah. That's true. I've lost many games.
I promise you, if
Sovereign.
I play this on Clash, everybody says, we got to get rid of this Bramble Sovereign. He's got an Avenger. Which is true.
Yeah. You got to kill it. You got to kill it. All right. So next up for me. One of the things we learned recently, thanks to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is if you print cards with horrible art that no one likes, they get really cheap. It turns out that the bonus sheet for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles led to some ridiculously big price drops. So I think the biggest might be Ashcoat the Shadow Swarm, which was $60 before Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles released. It is now $7. Plague of Vermin was $60. $60! It is now $2. Now $2 if you get the bonus sheet version. And this kind of tracks across other cards. Arcbound Ravager, $5. The other version was like $25. Waves of Aggression's way cheaper. Teleportation Circle's way cheaper. Silverclad Ferocidons went from like $15 to $2. So really just anything on that bonus sheet, as long as you do not mind playing with the art that's on it, if you like the art, you can pick them up at a massive, massive discount. So what do we take away from this? What do we learn from the TMNT bonus sheet? Do we want more cards with art people don't like to make them cheaper? Is that actually a strategy we should embrace?
You know what's funny? I would just buy if Wizards of the Coast sold every single card for $1, but it had like no art and it looked like those like crappy like playtest
cards.
It's
just like a steaming turd sitting in the art.
Yeah,
I would buy
those, but I would also buy them over the TMNT versions. Then I could draw my own funny art on it.
There's a spike. Like Ashcoat spiked with Love and Eclipsed. Like from Avatar to Love and Eclipse, and then it dropped a little, but not below Love and Eclipse price. God, so nobody
so
cares. Nobody
so
who wants
bad.
Their red deck cares about the one with Splinter or whatever on it. I don't know. I mean, they do look.
It's a life hack to get your cards on the cheap, though. Like it is a huge discount, pretty much across the board.
At this point, you can
I'd
just
rather Sharpie a swamp.
Just tag out the Sharpie.
I think that's wild. I think some of this art's kind of sick. So
it appeals to some people, obviously.
I mean,
and if you
comic
like
book
TMNT,
art.
Then for sure.
Book arts on here. Like, dude, I can't. I will gladly pick up the Splinter if it means that I get it for $2.
I also got to say, it is like the frame with the text isn't in a box, but has like
unreadable text.
Every letter has its own outline. Like, I don't know. As somebody who studied, like. Layout and stuff. This is just straight
not
up
good
a crime.
Film.
I
not
don't
good.
Know how this happened.
A crime. Straight up a crime. It does look. It does look
just
pretty
use
bad.
Comic Sans at this point, which they Already did.
Wingdings. We need some wingdings.
That was a banger.
I mean, the trouble with bears and all of that, man. Maybe Splinter and Plague of Vermin. Those are the one that's Ashcoat and Plague of Vermin. Those are like meh. But I like some of the art on here, man.
Some of them don't look bad. Some of them don't look bad. But then it is funny that the ones that drop the most are the ones that even Krim doesn't really like the art on. Like Plague of Vermin, those are the ones. So it seems like everyone must not like those because those ones got the biggest price drop.
I mean,
when like
some
Doubling
people are
Season
like that too,
didn't drop as much.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, art is very subjective. Everyone's got their own taste. But just be aware when we get these bonus sheets, if you like the art and everyone else doesn't, you're probably in for some really good deals because you can snag those cards on the cheap.
Also, there is humor in somebody not liking the art, so then it makes me like it more. And then I want to use it, right? Like I despise the piss Borderlands.
The troll value. Yeah,
oh,
I get that troll value.
Like, right?
I tried them, but...
It's kind of like the circle where like it's kind of funny now if you have the piss land.
Oh yeah, no, I run a piss land in one of my decks.
Yeah, right.
The shock value.
I tried.
It's a funny story, you know, when it comes out.
I can't.
They're so ugly, but
it is heinous. It is absolutely like hideous to look at.
And they're still very expensive, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah, it actually picked up in price. The Sunbelt of Verge is like $30 now. Yuck.
Well, Tomer, why don't you give us a card that's not $30?
Okay, here's one of my favorite green cards of all time that for most of the time that I've been playing Commander, I just could never put it ever in a budget deck. And I still love it to this day. I still highly recommend it. It's Oracle of Moldiah, 4-mana green elf shaman, 2/2. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Play with the top card of your library revealed. You may play lands from the top of your library. So, extra land drops, very good in basically any deck. And if you get to play lands on top of your library, that's like card advantage as well. And you can do fun things like if there's no land on top of your library, then maybe you like crack a fetch land or something and see if you can find another one. You have like more chances and stuff. Awesome, awesome card. Particularly great in Landfall. But like I always remember this card being at least $20. And I'm looking at the price range of it. It was like peaking at $40 for this card. And then it started seeing some reprints and it was like, it went down to like 20 and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Then it went to like 10 in the last year and I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Then Edge of Eternities came and reprinted it in one of the precons and now it's under $4. And I'm like, oh, this card is, do you guys still like this card? I know it's very old, but like, I'm enamored by it. I still think it's super fun.
It's still very good. It looks a little quaint compared to Ice Tail Explorer and just how absurd Ice Tail is. But as like a secondary Ice Tail Explorer, I think Oracle is still like maybe the second best option if you want to do that type of thing. Like it's still very good. The extra land drops are good. Only a 2/2, so its body is not going to do much on the battlefield. But still, it is like a very solid ramp card. This is one that I didn't realize was so cheap. This is a card that I figured was still like $20 or something. So I just didn't think about it much. But now that I know it's $5, I'm going to probably jam this in more decks.
How big is Ice Still? Oh my God. It's a 2/4. Get out. Even the toughness is higher. They have to do everything better.
Everything. but Oracle's still very good. It might not be quite Ice Still, but it's still a very playable card.
Would you run
it is.
Explorer and then notice. Ice the Moldiah at least? Would you run Bow?
Oh, I'd run
Traveling
Chocobo
is kind of Moldiah. They get double land double ETB is kind of like playing two lands and then it's 3 mana.
No
additional
that's
gonna be expensive though, right?
It's like $20.
Probably.
It's like $20.
I mean, I still got expensive.
Final
as
Fantasy,
well.
Not
so
even
the
once.
I'm playing a bunch of Landfall decks, and I'm sure like when I built these decks and I either noticed that it was already expensive or back in the day it was just super expensive, so I just didn't have it on my radar. Now I wouldn't know what to cut for it because the 4-drop slot in Landfall decks is already where stuff happens, so I don't know. It's like, hey, I could play an Ice to Explore.
Oh, no.
But, this one's great. I always think about this as like, that's a Landfall staple, probably like $20, and it is.
It used
so
to be
cheap.
Very recently.
What are the inversions on it? Wait, it was in the...
You run it in Landfall?
I
think you still need this. I think Black you still
Panther?
Need this. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know this card dropped either. This was a card I used to cut out of my deck just because I'm like, okay, hold on. This is like $15, right? $20, it's kind of expensive. But now that I know that it's only like $4, like why not have a backup copy, right? I guess I do already play Chocobo in like my Black Panther deck, and I already play Ice Till, and I'm not even gonna bring in Ice Till because it's unfair. But there's a lot of memories against Oracle of Moldiah, remembering playing against it in Standard because the Valakut decks would play it.
Oof.
And so, you know what? There's memory here for me. I'd play this. It's still fine. It's fine.
Absolute worst case, isn't it the best budget replacement for something like Ice Till? Like, if you want for that effect, sure. But you don't want to spend Ice Till money, like, I feel like this is the best $5 version of it.
Yeah, I
need to look up how much it is before I say it, because it might not be cheap anymore.
It's $4. I also noticed that I have one of them.
Oh, Ice Till is, the cheapest is, I think, $22.
No. Oh my god, I should have gotten more of them.
You know, it's only 10. I love this card still, and it's significantly cheaper now. It's only $2. Omen Path Journey. I still love Omen Path Journey. That card is so gas. The problem here is ramping has gotten so much better, in my opinion. I do still have respect for Oracle, just because, like, Oracle... Okay, hold on. Let me make sure. It just allows you to only play lands, right? And play with the top of your library reveal.
You can play lands off the top and play an extra land.
I always get that dopamine rush every single time you get lands off the top. Like, and then you crack a fetch, and then you're like, ah, I get a land. Oh, so good. Oh, it feels so good. When you get two lands off the top on the same turn.
But it just gets blown up with a board wipe usually.
Omen Path Journey is their journey as well. But I love, like, if you go Lotus Cobra, and then next turn, land drop, add a land from the Cobra, Oracle, fetch land
That's
off the top.
That's an old standard play pattern you just take in there, Bill.
Get that value, yeah. It's such a cool play pattern.
That's
and
the
I still explore this, everything no, just still, way more consistent.
Cheaper.
Krim, what else you got for us?
Okay. This is a card I've loved since 5 ever, because it's an Onslaught card originally. It's Cover of Darkness. Mm-hmm. This card was very expensive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how accurate some of the numbers I can safely say are, but like I remember this card being like $30, right? Like non-foil, $30 or something like that. But yeah, this was a $30 card, and now it's like what? Okay, maybe the original printing is like kind of like still 15. But the everybody
original.
Forgets about the Assassin's Creed set. And thank you. I forgot Assassin's Creed as a set existed, but you know what? Thank you to Assassin's Creed for having a budget version of this. I am so here for that. It's like only $50. Like $8. Yeah. $8.
Yeah.
And
I was like
for those that love the Kindred and, you know, kind of arc like creature type style decks, this card enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures of the chosen type have fear. Now, just remember, the one thing people always forget is that this counts for all creatures of that type, including your opponents. They also have fear. But this 2-mana enchantment gives all your armies evasion. I think this is still good. I still play this in my humans deck. This is still just a very relevant card if you're a combat matters kind of deck. So to see that it's only $8 is kind of wild to me, because I'm like, wow, I feel like this used to be absurdly pricey.
Yeah, no, this card was, I mean, this card until Assassin's Creed had never been reprinted from Onslaught, so it just spent like 20 years slowly climbing until it got to $50 or whatever it was. But yeah, this card, I think it's at its best probably in, like you said, combat matters decks. I think of like ninjas being a really good home for it, or the Assassin deck is probably why it was in Assassin's Creed, because you're trying to get in for free running so you can like attack with your commander.
Yep.
But you do need to be all the same creature type, right? So you do kind of need to be a tribal deck for me to really want it. But in that deck, I think it's very good. If you like meet both of those criteria, like all the same creature type and about attacking, why not Cover of Darkness?
I used to have it in my Changeling deck because then I can name like Trilobite or something funny.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee nobody else is running like Trilobite, so they can't use this against me.
Fool.
But it's just funny.
I can't even name a Trilobite.
Capybara.
I don't even know.
I think this is one.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Also, Krim, did you get you're still collecting Onslaught foils, right? Did you grab a copy of this yet?
I still have the one I've had since middle school.
Foil is crazy.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
It's like a 129.
So, man, the old butter foil of this got to look so sick.
Slaps.
The original artwork is kind of worth the extra price.
for how long I've had it, and it's only like slightly curled, barely. Like that's it. It's a little smoky in the front because I played with it a lot. But yeah,
like you need
this,
foil armor. It gives character that right out.
It's nice.
Yeah, gives character with a little foil armor that'll just be flattened, right? I legit still love this card. I still have this, and I'm so happy I do because it's so expensive.
Phil, why don't we move over to you? What's another cheap card?
All right, let me check my list here. What's the next? Oh, yeah, this one I didn't get when I built my Jadar deck, because back then it was like $30, and now it's at the cheapest one is $5.30, although if I look at this list, I can probably find it cheaper on TCG Mid. It is Imp's Mischief.
Oh,
it's a 2-mana instant in black, so 1 and a black. Change the target of target spell with a single target. You lose life equal to that spell's mana value, just to make this clear color pie break a little less color pie-y. But it feels like one of the few black counters. There's this other one that counters a creature. This one's like a black redirect.
It's a
and
bolt
it is
bend.
Super unique.
Well, not
and it really is another case of the cards that got cheaper when they got reprinted in a special cheat, extra cheat thing. Mm-hmm. And it also got a Commander Masters reprint here. It is picking up again because everything gets more expensive every day. I don't know. Cards get...
But it turns out more
with
people
playing... When everything got expensive again. Yeah, probably because of...
They need You got to have reprints something. And it's been a while. Since
if we did this podcast a while ago, it was at $2. Should have probably gotten it there. It is still it's just such a blowout card. You never see it coming. And I love to... now I kind of want to get it again. But now it's up to $5 again. Maybe I wait for the next reprint.
But
and
who
then
knows?
I get the etched foil for $30. Hell yeah.
I was going to ask you guys this. So like, how do you personally... handle cards like this? So we're talking about cards that used to be expensive and got cheap. Like, does this make you want to run out and buy them because you're like, I need to get these while they're cheap, they're probably going to get more expensive? Or do you say what Phil was just saying, which, oh, maybe I wait for the next reprint and they'll be even cheaper? Like, how do you balance that? Because when I see Imp's Mischief at $5, it looks like a good deal, but then it's been increasing in price, and who knows when they'll reprint it next. So maybe it doesn't make sense. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Like, should people be snagging these cards now in case they get more expensive
this
in the
one's
future?
Tricky.
It's one of those
I think I would get it
cards.
If you need it.
It's one of those cards that are like kind of wild in design for the color that it's in.
Yeah.
And as long as there's the it like has that niche under its belt, I think it's worth picking up. At some point you'll want it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
I mean,
you'll
it's
find
just
a use
super
for it.
Fun.
I just I wouldn't go like if there's like a bunch of cards and they happen to be cheap, I'm not going to, or I don't know, $5 maybe. And I'm like at the store, I'll buy it, you know, like if I'm browsing and stuff. But like, would I like order from the store online or something? Probably not, unless I want it for a deck or something. But like, you know, if I find out, this card is really good for my deck and it's kind of cheap, then for sure. Or I'm at the game store and I'm just like browsing. I love spontaneous game store browsing. I love going to like my local game store and just like, checking what they have in their binders and stuff. It's fun.
Well, let's keep moving on. Oh, next, I got to shout out this card because I didn't realize this card had gone so cheap either. Uro Titan of Nature's Wrath. Uro was $60.
Well,
this was a few years ago when it was like one of the best cards in Standard, got banned in Standard, and then it was one of the best cards in Modern. But even as recently as like a year and a half ago, it was still like $10, $12, somewhere like that. Now the cheapest printing of Uru, $2.60. They put it in Modern Horizons 3 Commander. So yeah, Uru is like a budget card now. And Uru, if you don't know what Uru does, it is an insane ramp spell. It's a 3-mana 6/6 Elder Giant. When it enters, you gotta sack it unless you escaped it. But when it enters or attacks, you gain 3 life, you draw a card, and you get to put a land from your hand onto the battlefield untapped even. And then you can escape it for the graveyard from for 4 mana and exiling 5 other cards from your graveyard. So you can cast it from there as well. So this is a card that you can play in basically any Simic deck. And it was a card I would play in a ton of Simic decks, except I thought it was like $20 or $30. And I was like, I'm not going to spend $30 on a ramp spell. But now that I know Uro is $2.50, I think I would play it in basically any Simic deck. Like, is there a reason not to jam this in a Simic deck? It's kind of like Oko, right, Phil? It's another card that's kind of in the similar
vein. I was
going to
mention Oko
right?
is another one. Oko and Uro are in 2 of my decks now. And I remember paying a lot for one of the Okos. The other one was just like, Man, I can just play Oko. Well, like when Spelunking got released, I was like, well, I can just get this for my Maelstrom Wanderer deck. Just still, like, I don't know, $3.80. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, like the, now it's really cheap.
Okay, I need to pick up a copy of Uro.
Yeah, it's super. Uro is so super fun cheap, though.
It's impressive in 1v1, but in Commander, it's like, yeah, you have a ramp spell with a late game payoff that
it's more fun.
Feels great to play. It is just fun.
I threw it in my bulk box because it got banned.
Oh my god! Come on, you have some respect.
Got banned.
Oh my god,
this one's for $260. Yeah. Like, there's something about it. It's just funny. So I got to go dig that out.
Well, they have a white border version.
Oh, the mystery booster, white border.
Stop it!
That's a good
stuff.
That's a good stuff. That's a good stuff. I'm sad they never did white border foil. They need.
I know. They should. They should.
Nope. Wizards, please. No, nope. We need
don't
the people need it.
More cards.
All right, let's do one final round. Final round. So get your best picks in there of cards. They used to be expensive and they're cheap now. Tomer, what is your last pick?
Okay. Special shout out to Reconnaissance, just because we were mentioning Cover of Darkness. It also got reprinted in Assassin's Creed. It's only $5. But the one that I wanted to go out with is a card that I also always assumed, it's an old card, I always assumed that it was out of my price range for budget brews, but it's a Fieldmancer. A Fieldmancer, 3-mana, black, human, shaman, creature. It's a 2/2, and at the beginning of each upkeep, not just your own, but each upkeep, if you control no snakes, you put a 1/1 black snake creature token with death touch onto the battlefield. So if you're in an aristocrat stack and you're constantly you have a repeatable sack outlet on the battlefield, this can make a snake fodder, like a sacrifice fodder for every single person's turn, not just your own. And they have death touch, so they're actually great blockers too. Nobody wants to swing in and trade with a snake because obviously you just replace yourself too. So this is a great sacrifice engine in the right deck. Like, Phil was playing past episode, was playing Dina.
Future.
And this is like amazing with Dina. If you have like a sack outlet that he can be doing stuff and you're drawing cards as you're doing everything. And I remember this card was expensive. It was like $11 for a long time. And then it got reprinted a bunch of times. And it's like $2. Yeah. It's a dollar. It's $1.25, $1.22, because it just got reprinted like 5 times in a row. But like, yeah, it all happened all at once. Like, yeah, it's a good card. Yeah.
No, is that in your Jadar deck, Phil? It feels like a Jadar card to me. It's gotta
still
be, right?
Crazy good. It's just because it's cheap. It's still just the exact same thing. Nobody attacks you. End of turn, sacrifice. Next turn, I get this. Like a new snake. Still a great card. I did just check, and I did get the foil, which means that I got it, either replaced it. I remember paying too much in hindsight for it, and I think I upgraded to the foil once it got so cheap that I got the foil for some whatever. Man, I'm such a sucker. I paid way too much for these cards. But yeah, also a new green one coming up, so maybe this one will be expensive at the beginning as well, but then reprint, and stick at the expensive card because I'm sucking for foils.
They're old border.
Especially if they're old border. All right. Krim, what do you got for your final pick today?
My final pick is going to sound not cheap, but I swear, just hang in there, okay?
It's LA cheap.
It's it's mana drain. Okay,
that's two Starbucks in LA.
Dude, okay, legit though, mana drain is like $50, right? And it's cheaper if you get specifically the Commander Legends, a foil printing, because the foiling was so bad. Like, oh my god, it's so bad. So you actually probably have to pay more for a non-foil, but like even then, right, let's say you pay for the non-foil, you can get like one for like $54, $56, right, from the big score sheet. Yes, that's still $50, but that is better than $400. It used to be $400 for a mana drain. So I think this is still like, you know, it's a blue Farseek, okay? This is blue ramp, baby. It comes with a counterspell. This is still a staple. It gives you all that colorless mana. I mean, what do y'all think? Is this Is this a price point you would pay for a mana drain?
This one's kind of interesting.
I don't think this card will ever get much cheaper. Let me say it that way. I don't think this card will ever get much cheaper because I don't think Wizards will ever reprint this in like a pre-con or some way that's going to crash in standard. Well, like, it's always going to be like printed at Mythic and like some small things, so they keep the price high. So if you want a mana drain, I think buying it for this price is fine because I don't really think maybe you can get a window where there's like, oh, they do a master set again and it drops $20, you know, the month after release and then goes back up. The bonus sheet, but it didn't.
But even that, I don't think those reprints are going to do like that much in a Mythic. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. So I think if you want a mana drain, this is a fine price point to buy it at because I just don't think it's going to ever get significantly cheaper.
If you have like a, if you have a deck that, well, either if you have LA money, then it's fine. Or you just don't build as a billion decks like I do. Because when I see mana drain, I'm like, I can build three more budget brews like that. And I have too many budget decks. I have too many of them. But like, if you're a reasonable person and you only have like three decks and you know, you keep upgrading them, this is totally reasonable to pick up right now. You know, like, it is one of the best counter spells, bar none, right?
First off, it is more than just a counter spell, right? Like, I think if you look at this and you're like, oh, it's a counter spell, I think we know that's disingenuous, but that is not true. It is so much more than that. Second off, LA money means that I'm more broke than you. I don't think you understand.
You gotta pay those LA prices.
This is not, when you say LA money, it's not what you think it is. It just means I have significantly less money than you since I live in California.
I think the problem with Mana Drain, and I have the same problem with Urza Saga, because if I get a Urza Saga, which is also super expensive and will ever always be expensive, it's like, I would put this in, first of all, every deck, but I have four decks that it will actively synergize with it. Even Urza that builds around Construct, so I should probably put it first there, but it would be better in Lowness. I don't know. Mana Drain is even worse because it's just played in every blue deck. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to build around better, it, you just jam it.
Which deck? But in which deck? I play so many blue decks. I don't know.
Trade
it in and out, yeah.
Whatever you want.
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to. Then it's kind of bothering me at this point.
But all around, we just agree that this is probably the cheapest we can get it. Right? There was a brief window where I remember, like, Double Masters? You can get that one for like maybe $35, $40.
Ah, man,
and then now that's
like
$60, right? So,
yep.
Until the next reprint may push it down to about 30, like you had mentioned, but then it just always floats right back.
It's gonna go. It's like Psychonic Rift. They reprint like Psychonic Rift and it go down a few bucks, and then it goes right back up to $30 to $40 or doubling. It's like these ultra staples in Commander. So it just depends on like. It's great card. You can play in literally every blue deck. Like I play in every one of my Commander Clash decks. If I'm in blue, it's like the first counter spell I add. I got lucky to have a copy, so it makes it a little bit easy because I don't gotta buy it. Would I go out and buy one for $50 for every blue deck I built? Not that would get very, very expensive after a while. So I don't think I would. So it really depends on how much you want it. But I think this is a perfectly fair, like fine price if you want a mana drain. Like, don't expect it to get cheaper soon. Yeah.
Phil, what about you? What do you got for your final pick?
All right. One card that I just love to play. It always overperforms for me because its downside is like, whatever, the damage is done. It was, back in the day, $18, and now it's all the way down to $3.99, and it's 2 mana, and it's a 0/0. It is Phantasmal Image. It's a 2 mana 0/0 illusion. You may have it enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it's an illusion with the additional type, in addition to its types, and then when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it. So you can't blink it to reset it. But you get a clone for 2 mana. At this point, there's some more. There's like the one with Vanishing, but 2 mana clone for 1 and a colorless feels busted, because then the opponent plays Avenger of Zendikar, and you say, thank you, I get one for 2 mana. And then they remove it by targeting it with Miss Bumbleflower or whatever. But you already have all the plants, and it's just 2 mana. And I just recently noticed that it got cheaper, and then I bought the special guest because
the special guest one is
so cheap now. And it's also kind of cheap for what you get. I think Phantasmal Image is just a very, very good card. It just Two mana clone anything. There's so many good effects.
If he's CDH player, no? Like, it's still CDH good. Oh,
probably, right? You can just copy a cool commander. If you see somebody play like Prosper, you say, oh, I don't know, it could get this. Also, the fact that it sacrifices itself, it's super easy to reanimate because it's two mana and zero power. That makes it, it kind of means everything can reanimate it.
And that's, I also, everything can kill it.
Everything can really, kill it, whatever, you just copy something with an ETB.
That doesn't even matter.
The illusion text doesn't really matter. Right, right, exactly for that reason, right? Because you, what you're usually copying is your Eternal Witness or a Dockside, not Dockside anymore, but like effects with strong Dockside, ETBs, and you're like,
sure,
I don't really care, right? Like, sure, it dies, but like, it already did its job. So I think the discount compared to other clones makes it one of the better clones, even with the illusion clause on there that makes it die more often. Because I think you're just like, I wouldn't really want to use it to copy Prosper, probably, or like something I want to stick around for several turns. Like, you can, maybe, but I think those are like the sketchier targets.
The cost, it's just two mana, though. Yeah. Like, if you say, so spend your removal on it. Most people don't have like a gut shot or something cheap to throw around. If they...
It's probably going to be a real removal
spell
anyway.
If they rogue passage you, right? Like, it goes away.
Rogue
passage.
That's
kind of sweet, actually. Not going to lie.
I just picked one up. It's the best card in my Princess UA deck. I just got the foil. It just arrived in the mail today, too. But I just picked it up, and I was like, oh, my God. It's actually, like, not that expensive anymore, which is great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you just copy Princess UA, and then it becomes a moon of whatever thing on the battlefield. And then it's even harder to target because it's not even a creature. It's a land. It's a moon. So it's funny.
I think that's my favorite deck I've seen this year on Commander Clash Stomer for this season. I think the UA deck, I really like that
Vegas,
deck. It's super
so
cool.
Speaking
of Vegas, I should announce this here. We announced it on the other podcast today. If you happen to be in Vegas, and it probably would have made more sense to do this earlier in the podcast, just when everyone's listening. But Friday at MagicCon Vegas, 2 p.m., we will be at the Heavy Play booth for a meet and greet. And then Sunday at 10:30 a.m., we'll be at the Foil Armor booth for a meet and greet. And then we'll be hanging out in a jam of games in between. But those are the places that if you want to find us for sure, at MagicCon Vegas, go those places at those times, and you'll be able to find us, and we'll sign stuff, take a picture, whatever you want to do.
Play Commander.
Play some Commander. Well, we probably won't play Commander at the meet and greets, after the meet and greets, yes. All right, for my final pick to wrap things up today, this is actually tough. Like, I got a few cards that dropped a lot in price, but they're a little bit narrow. But I guess, okay, for dinosaur lovers out there, I didn't know this card had gotten this cheap. Zakama Primal Calamity. I thought this card was, like, super expensive because it was, like, a $40 mythic in Rivals of Ixalan. And then even after it showed up in Commander Masters, it was still, like, $20. But it turns out Wizards put it in a Lost Cavern of Ixalan Commander Precon, like, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And now it is literally $1. It went from $40 to literally $1. So I know it's something that probably got to be a dinosaur deck to really want, or maybe some crazy ramp deck that can take advantage of the fact that it untaps all your lands when you cast the 9-drop. So it doesn't go in most decks, but if you do want it, it is ridiculously cheap now.
My brain, when I read Zakama, I was thinking about the meme one, the meme flying one that's like double strike and vigilance and stuff.
Oh, no, not that one.
Yeah, this is like, are you actually untap all your stuff? Yeah. It's not even worth $2. You have to pay me to put it in.
Has that card ever been more than $1?
No. But Zakama is legit. Zakama is awesome. Scary.
One of the craziest commanders. Whenever I play against it, I feel like, what are we even doing here? Just everything you do gets just blown up by this. And even the borderless profile foil is like $8.
The LinkedIn
so even
profile.
Want to play it as a fancy commander. I can't believe this is so cheap. Maybe it's because it's so unfun. Just play the one that slaps and puts dinosaurs on the battlefield.
Wait, is Itali more appropriate? I don't understand.
Oh, Itali, hold on. Yeah. Wait, Itali's so...
That's not even dinosaurs.
I'd rather fight Zakama than Itali, for sure.
Itali is a dinosaur. I love this one. Yeah, I forgot about this card, actually. Yeah. I think it's still very good.
Well, now you can put in some budget decks, Tomer, because it's only $1.
Sure.
Is it good in the 99?
I think so.
I think actually, you're ramping in a Naya, just like the ability to untap all of your lands and then use all of its abilities is actually very strong. Because I guess I didn't actually read the card. If you don't know, it's a 9-mana 9/9 Vigilance Reach Trample Legendary Elder Dinosaur. When it enters the battlefield, if you cast it, you untap all of your lands. So it can actually generate mana if you can, like, float a bunch of mana and untap all your lands. And then you can pay 3 mana, including a red, to deal 3 damage to a creature. 3, including a green, to blow up an artifact or enchantment. 3, including a white, to gain 3 life. So, yeah, I think in the 99, in a deck that's in 9 ramping a lot, it's actually insane because it turns into, like, a weird ritual a lot of the times where you can just, like, generate mana with it and then pop off. So I think it's worth it. You got to be a big mana deck with a lot of ramp, but in that kind of deck, I think it's good.
I think it's sick.
Anyway, everyone, those are cards that used to be expensive, and now they're not as expensive, and you should think about putting them in your decks, because who doesn't like cheap cardboard? And that's our podcast for
cheaper
today.
Cheaper cardboard.
Cheaper, yeah, I guess. Cheaper.
Get the
cheaper cardboard.
Manager, it's only like 5 Starbucks runs. It's fine.
It's only like 5 Starbucks runs. Easy.
It's and, like one LA coffee.
No, dude.
I'm so glad I don't live in LA. Anyway, everyone, thank you. Thank you so much for watching. Hopefully you enjoyed our podcast. And we'll be back next week to do it again. So until then, have an amazing week. And this is the crew signing off.